Hello there, I'm Luke Clancy, and you're very welcome to the Culturefile Weekly, a gathering of a week's worth of temperature-taking in arts and culture. This time we'll be in Limerick to meet the heroes of the city's hip-hop underground, in Cork to encounter an invisible exhibition on invisible rays, on the internet thinking about the shape of art to come, and finally washing it all down with a martini shot from Rob Long. So first, to Limerick City.
Limerick City, Island Fish.
There's nothing better for a music scene, according to the artist behind Limerick's PX Music Fraternity, than being ignored and left to get on with it, to start with at least. PX Music is a record label come confederation of performers and producers that includes artists such as Hazy Hayes, Citrus Fresh, Mankey and founder DJ Replay. Together they make up a new wave of that unexpected constellation that is Limerick hip-hop. For our latest gasp at the rise and rise of Limerick hip-hop, Áine Gallagher visited PX Music Studios in central Limerick to witness the fitness.
Right before lockdown, we'd been doing more and more gigs regularly, and so we'd just gotten used to that being a constant in our lives. That it's just sort of everything's been on pause for months.
I think being around the boys in the studio is the only thing that's keeping me sane. It's the only place I can put my emotions, because I literally build up everything for doing live shows, because I do so many of them that I just let everything out of the show. But I don't know.
And a live stream is just not the same as a live show.
Not at all. Like, it just feels like you're just with the boys doing a few songs. Like, and that's lovely, like, don't get me wrong, but it's just, I don't know. Yeah, I just know where to put my emotions, kind of thing. I'm Hazy Hayes, PX Music, CMD, Limerick.
What's been keeping me sane is, well, first of all, Call of Duty. But second of all, actually sitting down and going, okay, there's going to be times now in a year or two when I'm going to wish I was still in lockdown, like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's, like, actually have this time to myself. I've definitely been taking it as a mental holiday anyway, a mental health holiday, I suppose, like, because I'm very bad for being anxious about nothing, like, do you know what I mean? And, like, getting very highly strung and stuff, so I'm still very highly strung, but about much more chilled out things and much more relaxed things, you know? So, Michael O'Donoghue, a.k.a. Citrus Fresh.
It has been, obviously, devastating for the live gig stuff. We had a good few gigs that we had to cancel because of it. But I mean, at the same time, I don't know if I could do a regular gig with a clear conscience anytime soon, until it feels safe to do so, and until, you know, the people who know what they're talking about tell us that it's safe to do that. I don't really think that we should. Not that I probably won't be anyway. I go by Mankey. I'm a producer and DJ with PX and The Unseen as well. My vision for it would be that we're able to keep expanding while we stay honest to ourselves and honest to what we have always done, which is make music for ourselves. And so for me, that's a very important thing, that we are motivated by each other. We'll probably be based in Limerick, I'd say, for the foreseeable, because even though I'm not even from Limerick, Limerick is my home from home, you know. And it's the same with the lads, it's where they're from. It's what they are, in some sense, you know.
Limerick City, Island Fish. Troop, troop. What's that sound from around the corner?
It definitely is the epicenter of the Irish rap scene at the moment. The whole thing about being forgotten about and kind of left to your own devices does a lot for any sort of scene anyway. Well, not too many people are looking, you get away with a lot. So we just got away with a lot for a lot, and we kind of curated our own little sounds, and it's just now every young fella around, every young one around wants to get involved in it now. It's good. Plenty of 16, 17 year olds that's all they want to do now. And it's become a viable option here, so. My name is Gavin Da Vinci. I'm part of PX. I started about 4 years ago, 2016, and it's been a lovely journey since.
Even for the Limerick scene, I think nowadays that people that listen to Irish rap know. They realise that it's actual serious stuff that people are talking about. It's no longer like, but when I listened to rap years ago, it was a joke. Like, they'd be taken as a joke because it's Irish rap. But now everyone listens to it because it's, I can speak for the Southwest anyway, is definitely, like, to me, the most storytelling, most hard hitting stuff comes out of here, because it's, as Gavin said, you're left to your own devices. And then for ages we were like, I don't want no write ups, I don't want nothing like that. So if they don't care, they don't care. We make it for ourselves. So it's definitely like the community in Limerick is way different than anywhere I can. That's a promise, like, you know.
And so who's listening to the stuff that you guys produce and who's listening to your storytelling?
My experience back home anyway, it's the younger generation at the minute. That's their bread and butter now. They love Irish rap. They love Irish DJs. They love Irish anything. They just, it's seen a lot more economical anyway, because I think they know that they can go see them and they can be around them, and it's more of an ambition to it, you know? Music and guillotine, brutally killing fiends, or stupidly symphony, don't unlock me from these shackles.
It's changing now, but the scene in Limerick at its core was for years too small to not be everyone together.
Yeah.
And everyone was listening to each other's stuff and everyone knew each other. There was a lot of experimentation and there was a lot of sort of ideas going between different scenes that were just the same one scene. It made lots of different influences converge, and you can kind of feel it in the music, I think.
It already is a cultural hotspot, but I mean, let's stop having to pander to go other places and pander to get shows and international things when we're creating enough, not just us, everyone is creating enough of a scene here that the money will be generated and hopefully jobs can be generated from it later on, that like we have our own thriving massive music scene that people are coming here to see shows. Do you know what I mean? So like if you're smart about it, and if you have, maybe you don't have the head for it, but if you have someone around you that has some form of head for it, or if two fellas that have half a head for it that make one fella, you will make it work. Do you know what I mean? And like if your heart is in the right place, and you're not, it would never work if you're looking to make money off it, if that's your goal. If I'm 30 and I can just make a normal wage out of this, I'd be the happiest fella in the whole world. Like, do you know what I mean? Obviously, I'd love to be rich and everything that comes with that without wanting to blow my brains out. But I think we're all very lucky that I made a couple of bob off it. But it's the thing that we're the most passionate about in the world. So, and you're kind of rich then anyway, like, do you know? Without sounding too cliche, like, do you know? Grab your wellies for the flood that's coming. You know me, always up to something. Say, grab your wellies for the flood that's coming. You know me, always up to something. I was up in a heap, half asleep. You should have seen me running 100 meter sprints all around the TV. You don't believe me? You really don't believe me? Content wise with the music, what kind of stuff are you guys writing about then? What are you trying to say? We all get most of our inspiration from the crusty socks you leave under your bed, like, do you know what I mean? Like, as in, like, no, but, like, it's like ripping the wallpaper off the inside of your brain and seeing what picks up. We all kind of write, not negatively, but very cynically anyway, I would say we all kind of write, and I think that's very telling of, like, where we're from or what we're brought up around and stuff like that, like, do you know what I mean? But I'm the heartbroken fella and I do this, do you know what I mean? Like, I write the soft, like, soft tunes. Gavin writes, like, between tunes about worrying about family members sleeping out in the roads, and then tunes about being off your game somewhere. That yeah, dirt under your under your fingernails, like, do you know what I mean?
You're probably finding out what I'm better.
Is it an organized mess or an unorganized? I don't know what way to. Yeah, it's organised chaos, that's
slightly
it, yeah.
Organized.
Slightly organised chaos.
It just pans out, no one really gets badly hurt.
Basically, yeah.
But don't you might, that point glass will come out of somewhere. Remember Jack Bradley got point glass out of nowhere, or someone threw a point glass.
Point glass.
Members of Limerick's PX Music there, who'd like to remind you that buying things from a Bandcamp store butters substantially more parsnips than listening on Spotify. As you were. Is the long now of shuttered art centres, empty cinema seats and gigless nights inflicting lasting changes on our culture, not just in how and where we consume, but in what gets made? Launching today is the latest tilt at that question, this time in the form of an online art space from RTE. Illuminations is an exhibition space in which artists from all disciplines, from film and photography to poetry and prose and even embroidery, have been commissioned to create new work, exploring some of the shifts in the island's lives that 2020 has brought. Culturefile spoke to RTE's Anne-Marie Power about a soothsaying experiment.
My name is Anne-Marie Power and I am currently the group head of arts and culture in RTE, and we're launching today Illuminations, the online art gallery. Well, we're in the grounds of RTE, which I've always loved, and I've been here 20 odd years now, with the really old tall trees just waving in the wind here. And when we were in working full time, our area, arts and culture, is just behind me, the glass windows there, and we'd look out onto the trees, weather and each season. spring, summer. Now we're in autumn. Nobody is in the building from the arts and culture area at the moment. Everybody's working at home, but it's nice to look out and see the trees, kind of miss them a bit. Illuminations is something that we decided to do, which is sort of a response to what's going on at the moment, a response that involves art and culture and community and artists. We actually had this conversation a couple of days ago, would we call it Shades of Pandemic or Shades of Lockdown? And I think people in the end came down on it's still lockdown, and actually it is even more than ever now, who would have thought this week, and the discussion is all again about lockdown. And it's also come into the kind of everyone's daily conversation and parlance, so lockdown, pandemic, it's almost the same in our minds.
It's the form that's curious, isn't it? Because you're getting into the area that so many different galleries and institutions are in now, which is to figure out how to get themselves to people when the people they can't welcome people into the building. So suddenly your competition is IMA or Visual Carlo.
Well, I think we'd all like to like work together, and we're just figuring it out along with everybody else, and who knows how long it's going to last, where traditional audience for arts can't be met for now. And maybe even it will cause a behavioural change anyway, that more art can be accessed through media channels. There's a lot of figuring out to do. This is just dipping our toe in the water.
There is a question of the money. You know, if you're going to provide money to artists that usually the Arts Council would have provided, that's going to be structurally different.
Well, I think it's kind of too early to talk about that. But I mean, I would see it as if there was a collaboration amongst kind of key stakeholders, you know, including RTE, to kind of move into this space, develop. And I think that could be a really interesting place for Irish arts and culture to be, you know. I know other people are having similar thoughts outside of RTE around that. So I think the longer this goes on, maybe something really interesting will come out of it. There were some very strong themes that started to come out. We're only starting to really realise them now. And it's funny because they're sort of aligning with behaviour and attitudes, sort of research is coming out. Nature is a huge big thing. Kinship and family, as we see from another thing. And another part, and a third one, is people's worlds shrinking. Obviously, that was very obvious with the 2 kilometre lockdown or the 5 kilometre. But actually, it's continued, I think, for a lot of people. Everyone's world has shrunk.
The pieces range from things that are commissioned from writers, so they're literature, and there's some film, and there'll be documentaries, but also photography, which is a kind of the medium that you feel is very at home here. So one of the photographers is Aisha Ahmad.
So Aisha, she was in Galway with her grandparents for 10 weeks during the initial lockdown and spent so much time with them. What she decided to do, seeing how they were and how they were cocooned, that once the lockdown lifted, she was able to kind of get them outside of their, inside the house where they were like all cocooned and wrapped up, out into nature and take photographs of her granny doing her normal things like knitting or embroidery, things like that, but out in fields, out in the landscape. That produced some beautiful photographs, and I think it really added humanity to that whole story behind the cocooning, and it brought home actually how important it is. So I think that's what art can do. It can offer these little moments of insight, and I was in tears watching that, I have to say.
One thing that is very striking is the diversity of the people you have in. I mean, I think of there's this German sound artist who said that we're living through this time where everything is a bit quieter. But the interesting thing about that is that these other voices that were often being drowned out, suddenly we're hearing them, and we're hearing them through things like Black Lives Matter. And it's the change in the soundscape that's allowed that.
I think that's interesting. And I mean, you know, we really wanted to put artists at the front and centre. They're, as we know, along with many other people and professions, but you know, the art sector, the entertainment sector, having a really, really tough time, and your whole livelihood and everything you're meant to do is stripped away. And yet there's a tremendous value to what art can offer. And I think those voices are becoming louder in a funny way, even though people might feel disempowered, and people are discovering what value artists are in our country. Their voices are so pure and actually really important this time. I mean, Isabel Nolan says it, the fine artist, she says it like, artists aren't promising to solve the pandemic. You know, it's like, it's not about that. It's like, we need jobs, we need a vaccine, all of those things. They can just offer moments of kind of beauty and little solace, succor, you know, sustenance. But also, I think it's also interesting, as Dermot Bulger says, like in 50 years' time, You know, he says in his poem Nightwalker, you know, we'll have a testimony. People will know what it felt to live through 2020. We have news reports, but he's saying poetry is news that doesn't grow old. So I think, in 20, 30 years' time, there'll be a testimony, an emotional legacy of how we felt.
Anne-Marie Power there, and Illuminations is now live at rte.ie/illuminations.
Oh, how I'd like you to recall, for you this song was personal. It was your favourite, and I'm aware that it's by Cosma and Prevail.
And every time the leaves that have fallen bring back to you my memory, day after day, the lovers you've passed on are blown away like autumn leaves.
Those other songs can be contagious, but their tunes are repetitious, and there's nothing to be done. This indifference can't be overcome.
'Cause every time the leaves that have fallen bring back to you my you've passed on, are blown away like autumn leaves.
Can one ever know where it begins and where indifference finds an end? The autumn turns to winter long, just like the words in Prevert's song.
That song of dead leaves,
L'Effroyé Mortem,
is erased from memory. And on that day, my loves which have passed on are blown away like autumn.
How to make the invisible visible is a poetic idea, but under level 3 restrictions, also a logistical challenge. A new exhibition at the Crawford in Cork set out to explore the electromagnetic radiation that moves about unseen and unheard, X-rays, infrared, UV, microwaves and gamma rays, and somehow put it all on show. But new COVID restrictions mean that show, Invisible Light, which was due to open tomorrow, is added to 2020's injury list, meaning, aptly, for the moment, you can't see it. So, how to make the invisible visible, wondered Culture Files' Rachel Andrews, who visited the gallery to experience Invisible Light, as well as meet the show's organisers, Dennis Connolly and Anne Cleary, before turning everything into the invisible rays of radio you're about to receive.
I'm standing in the upper gallery of the Crawford Art Gallery in Cork. I'm surrounded by television screens, a computer, a deflated sphere, a makeshift teepee. On one of the large walls are a series of X-rays bathed in multicolour.
We've always been interested in light as visual artists, and a lot of the work that we've produced over the years has been specifically light pieces.
In the middle of the room, on a small, black and yellow table, there is a banana, a microphone placed alongside it. It appears to be emitting some musical chimes.
Really nothing exists until it's perceived by the beholder.
I'm looking at the construction of Invisible Light, the new exhibition by Anne Cleary and Dennis Connolly. The exhibition looks for ways to translate all the light we can't see. Infrared radiation, ultraviolet light, X-rays, microwaves, gamma rays. into something tangible. I walk over to the banana. Is it really making music?
My name is Dennis Connolly, and I'm an artist, an architect by education.
My name's Anne Cleary. I'm also a visual artist, an architect, an educator and a curator, and we work together under the name of School of Looking. Our work has been about looking. Light is a medium for looking.
In this exhibition we said, well, we're aware that beyond the violet and beyond the red of the rainbow, there are invisible colours. First question was, well, for example, if you go beyond the violet, could you consider that those are colours, even if they are invisible?
We're trying to make them perceptible. So with banana music, for example, because we take the photon from the banana and we use that to generate music, it makes people aware that this light is being emitted from the banana. With ultraviolet, we've made an artwork which is called the UV teepee, and in there you go in there with a UV handheld lamp. We've got a display of fluorescent objects in there, quite beautiful objects that we've collected over the year. What's really beautiful about it is there's incredible things in nature that fluoresce. For example, we found these tiny little periwinkle shells. We've got several, a pile of them. They're so beautiful.
And when you look at them, they're quite grey. They're kind of grey and beige.
Yeah, and then you shine the light on them, and they've got a heart of fire. It's incredible.
It's like a little pink heart.
Yeah, just like glows from the centre of them, this fluorescence. Yeah. It's beautiful.
Surrounded by a blue halo. So it's quite magical, really.
Yeah. Every piece has something that, some way of rendering visible the invisible light.
I stand in front of one of the television screens, looking at my image as it is converted from infrared to black and white to blue and yellow. I know that these are ways for me to try and understand the colours that I can't see, just as the television screen on the other wall showing images of animals, dogs, cats, orangutans, tries to help us imagine how an animal might see. Does the dog choose a green ball or a red one? We don't know how animals see, the artists tell me, but we are trying to imagine, trying to investigate. We are trying to make looking the centre of our art.
We did this project in partnership with Tyndall and with IPIC in Cork, and they had access to X-ray material, which we were going to work with the scientists to do some quite interesting and cutting-edge sort of stuff with them, with X-ray photographs. And then that fell apart, obviously, because of the lockdown. We simply made contact with all of our friends, and we asked them, do you have X-rays to give us? We got access to about 300 X-rays, I think, out of which we were able to kind of construct a whole human body, three human bodies, kind of like a photographic Frankenstein of, you know, transparent photographs. It's quite a beautiful construction of three bodies out of these transparent photographs of them.
Before I leave, I stand in front of the X-ray installation. Three large, multicoloured bodies put together in fragments. A torso here, a hand there, here a foot. Behind each of these X-rays is a story. Here someone had a hip replacement. Here someone broke a knee. Our human trauma depicted from the inside out. Here at the Crawford Art Gallery, have I seen the invisible made visible? For a few minutes, I think that I have.
Rachel Andrews there, shining a light on invisible light, the corporeal version of which show at the Crawford has been temporarily placed on hold by COVID restrictions until the exhibition can open. Anne Cleary and Dennis Connolly, who you heard from there, will be delivering incorporeal tours online from the Crawford Gallery to schools around the country. More info at crawfordgallery.ie/exhibitions. When earlier this pandemic, Christopher Nolan's would-be blockbuster Tenet was released into the wild and indeed cinemas, it was tasked with single-handedly saving the motion picture industry, or at least getting people back to the multiplexes in their millions. It didn't work, but maybe not for the reasons you might imagine, as Rob Long is here to tell you.
This is Rob Long with Martini Shot. I once met with a movie producer who was on a roll. He had made a bunch of successful comedies, and he wanted to talk about doing something with me. I wasn't really a fan of his pictures. They were mostly of the gross-out variety, lots of body function humor, scenes of teenage debauchery, that sort of thing. But at the time, I found myself in the middle of an unexpectedly costly house-building project. And the truth is, this producer had a lot of money, and I wanted some of it. That's often at the heart of a lot of relationships in Hollywood, both business and romantic. What this producer wanted, though, after making a string of hugely successful pictures, was to make something people might call important. In other words, he had money, and now he wanted respect. And everyone knows that going for the latter is a quick way to lose most of the former. For instance, in the late 1980s, when Coca-Cola, perhaps the most successful consumer brand in world history, decided that the only way to solidify their position as manufacturers of the most popular drink on Earth was by changing the recipe for the most popular drink on Earth, the result was a PR and sales disaster. People who loved the taste of Coca-Cola, the executives discovered to their shock, did not want that taste to change. What Coca-Cola was selling as New Coke was something no one wanted to buy. The executives and marketers who made that disastrous decision weren't stupid. On the contrary, they were smart. The smartest people, I'm sure they would have insisted at the time, in the room. Armed with charts and surveys and market testing results, they thought and thought and overthought themselves into nearly destroying one of the most iconic brands in the world. People want new, you can hear them say. People want something different. The truth is, at no point in history has anyone really wanted anything new or different. What we want, when we're being honest with ourselves and each other, is exactly what we've always liked, just maybe a little bit turbocharged. So when the movie Tenet was released recently into movie theaters, most of them just opened, disinfected, sprayed, and devirused, and the movie-going public stayed mostly away, a lot of people in Hollywood concluded from this in panicky, nervous breakdowns that movie theaters are dead, that movie-going is over, that everything is different and worse, and it's never going to be the same again. Except, ask someone who has seen the movie Tenet to explain it briefly. What's it about is a good way to start that conversation, and watch as they struggle to explain a movie that's told in a backward, zigzaggy fashion with a lot of confusing plot twists and long, complicated speeches from the characters to clarify unsuccessfully what's actually happening on screen. Look, I'm sure it's a good movie, and I'm sure in some other moment it will be a successful box office performer. But after 7 months of dark screens and homebound audiences, perhaps the best way to get people back into the movie theaters is to put on something, I don't know, fun, light, exciting, classic, a romantic comedy, a spy movie, one of those movies that's all about cars. I don't know, just don't overthink it, Hollywood. People don't want New Coke. They want Coke Classic, especially right now. Tenet wasn't an escape. It was homework. And the first rule of show business is people do not pay for homework. They have homework in their daily lives, plenty of it. People aren't staying away from movie theaters because they're scared they'll get COVID. They're staying away from movie theaters because they're scared they'll be bored. And there's no cure for that. And that's it for this week. Next week, we will try to be funny again. This was Martini Shot with Rob Long.
And as Rob says, he'll be back on Culture File next week with another Martini Shot. And the rest of Culture File will be back starting Monday each evening at 6:10, and back with The Weekly next Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Till then, bye now.